I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Grant Danny here on The Fan 118. We will get into Anthony Rendon and what the Nationals must do and how urgent they must be to bring him back. But right now, let's go to the Mattress Warehouse hotline where our pal Chris Russell, our Redskins insider, is waiting for us. Russell, good afternoon, buddy. How are you?
Hey, Danny. How are you, pal?
Doing just fine and dandy. Better than sounds like Reuben Foster is. Just first of all, your reaction to what happened. What does it mean for this team?
Yeah, I mean, it. You know, whatever the proverbial black cloud is, it's certainly over this organization, and it was raining over Redskins Park yesterday. I mean, I guess it felt a little bit more normal the more separated you got from the actual incident, Danny. It happened just as I was walking down the hill to Redskins Park from the media building. So, you know, I mean, that's the first thing you're hit with, and you're like, oh, Jesus. And you see Bruce Allen after he had been carted, you know, like off running, sprinting from the practice field all the way to the building. And, I mean, you just knew that something was major wrong right away. And then Jay afterwards is like, well, you know, I don't want to get too emotional until we know for sure that, I mean, you just sense that this was going to be bad, and indeed it was based on all the reports. You know, I don't know what to say. I know everybody's going to make a continuing big deal, and rightfully so, about all the injuries. Danny, I don't know what can be done to prevent injuries like this, injuries like Alex Smith, injuries like Darius Geis. I know this. Something probably can be done in the aftercare, something more than what they're doing, because they've had too many complications and too many infections for my liking, and I think for your taste as well. I don't want to speak for you, but nothing can be done to prevent what happened yesterday, where a dude steps on Tyler Catalina, who shouldn't even be on the roster, on his foot, and he snaps his leg forever.
I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical expert. I'm not a trainer, but I also know that, like, the healthcare system isn't great. You know what I mean? Yeah. Nothing with the Redskins. You don't have to be a trained expert to know when something stinks. Now, to have a solution, you probably need to know something. And here's what bothers me. And obviously, yesterday is a freak occurrence. Of course it's a freak occurrence. But there's a lot of back padding that I saw here this offseason, because they hired some consultants to come in and tell them that everything they were doing was just great. And there was an article, I guess it was yesterday, about like a new hot tub or a whirlpool or a zero gravity, this, that, and the other thing.
Right.
I just know that they need to be more concerned than they are, right? Like, something drastic has to happen just to show. And if it doesn't work, try something else drastic, because this is an epidemic here.
Well, a couple of ironies, you know, and I've talked to players, many players throughout the years, Danny, who have complained and griped and moaned, and rightfully, I think, although I can't prove that, about the care and the treatment and the rehab and the procedures and all of that that they received when hurt while playing for the Washington Redskins. So I'll preface that by saying that's a one-sided view, because the Redskins, and I think this is a huge mistake on their end, they never allow Larry Hess, they never allow Dr. Robin West, Dr. Casolaro, anybody like that to speak and to explain to the media, and therefore the fans, and therefore their paying customers, the medical side of things and the perspective. And I understand there's HIPAA laws and all that crap. I don't know enough about that. But they've got to allow somebody with medical expertise, i.e. not Dr. Jay Gruden, to speak about this stuff, right? So that's number one. Number two, do you realize that if they didn't get the sweetheart deal that they got with the Commonwealth of Virginia to rebuild Redskins Park as part of the relocation of training camp to Richmond, a lot of this stuff would not probably have happened. All these saunas and medical pools and weight training, the redevelopment of Redskins Park, the re-expansion of Redskins Park, all of the different gadgets. They did not have
any of this until 6 years ago, and they phased it in slowly only because they received enormous capital, enormous contributions from the Commonwealth of Virginia to rebuild and reinvest in Redskins Park and therefore Loudoun County, which should tell you kind of like where this franchise is. For as much money as it has made, as much money as it is worth, that they've been behind the eight ball in a lot of these areas for a very long time.
Slashy, you're going pretty hard even today on Josh Norman's future with the Redskins. Yeah. Most people have basically resigned themselves to the fact they're going to pay him a lot this year. He's going to be their starting corner, and there's nothing to see here. You're not sold yet.
Well, listen, if I was a betting man, which of course I'm not unless I'm making stupid bets on your show, I would say Josh Norman is going to be here, right? There's certainly a talent, if not a depth issue at corner, and he's still their best corner, even though I don't think he's as good as everybody thinks he is. And that's not just last year. That's the entire 3 years he's been here. However, that being said, it is much easier to cut him after June 1st than it was even with a post-June 1st designation when you couldn't use some of that cap savings. They don't absolutely have to do it cap-wise, but here's my logic. You save, it's only going to cost you $3 million against this year's cap and $3 million next year with a June 1st whack. You save about $11 million, and even if you don't use that this year, Grant, Danny, you can roll that into next year. Whatever you have on the cap remaining after all is said and done, you can roll it into next year. And you never know with post-June 1st cuts around the league, with post-training camp cuts, who is going to come available? Who might be just as adequate, just as decent, and more committed to the Washington Redskins than Josh Norman is? That dude does not want to be here, in my estimation, and based on things that I've heard. And I know certain coaches don't want him here, period. So the bottom line is why keep forcing a square peg into a round hole, whatever the saying is? Why keep doing it?
Russell,
he's not good enough to justify it.
No, the value isn't there. I think that's the big key. But I want to go back to the inside linebacking position. There's plenty of reason to be excited about the outside linebackers.
Right.
Kerrigan, Mr. Dependable, Montez Sweat, the new hot toy, Ryan Anderson, adequate as a fill-in, maybe Casanova McKenzie, who's shown some signs.
Yeah.
I feel good there. I think this inside linebacking core now, without Reuben Foster, the ceiling has gone down. I think this is a 3 out of 10 position group at this point. Where are you at?
I don't disagree with that at all. I might even go 2 out of 10 because, look, we all respect Mason Foster for how hard he tries and all that stuff and how sturdy and tough he is and going downhill and attacking the line of scrimmage and all that. Great. Here's the problem. He could not cover the Cowboys' third tight end on Thanksgiving Day, nor could he cover other pedestrian tight ends and running backs in the flat areas, never mind across the middle, where this league is predicated. We all know where this league, the heart and soul of this league, and the explosion of the passing game that you guys love more than anything, is in that short to intermediate zone. I cannot have Mason Foster trailing these guys around on a regular basis like what happened last year because they couldn't trust Zach Brown. So unless Sean Dion Hamilton is going to get every one of those assignments and do it really well, or unless Cole Holcomb is the absolute diamond in the rough, it's a 2 out of 10. I'll even go lower than you, Danny.
Russell, before we let you go, and Chris Russell on Grant and Danny here on The Fan, I would like to reiterate to our listening audience that Chris Russell did indeed make a bet with us this year.
That's true, yeah.
Based on win total, care to remind people of what that bet is? And now that Reuben Foster's been lost for the season, obviously the bet is off to a poor start for you.
Sure. Here's the bet. If the Redskins win more than 3 games, or if they don't win more than 3 games, I will shave my head.
No, that's not the bet.
That's not the bet at all.
I thought that was the bet.
No, incorrect. No. Try again.
Okay. No, if it's less than 3, you lose your eyebrows.
Yes. If they win 0-1
or those eyebrows, by the
two
way.
Games, he's got
he
to shave his eyebrows.
Tom, I was hoping your honeymoon would chill you the you-know-what out. It has not.
He's been very mellow since he got back.
That's right.
He's operating in what we call the green, not the red. We like it.
Listen, I mean, my eyebrows, my hair, whatever. I mean, at this point, I'm a clown show anyway, so just take it all. I don't care.
Thank you, Reenie.
See you guys.
See you, buddy.
Rini. Nobody beats up Chris Russell like Chris Russell.
He's Jim Carrey in that scene in Liar Liar in the bathroom.
That's pretty much right. Adam Eaton does not like a member of the New York Mets. And that member of the Mets, Todd Frazier, he can't stand Adam Eaton either. They had to be separated yesterday. We heard from both players after the game. We'll explain next on Grant and Danny.
Your home means everything to you, and your roof protects not only your home, but everything in it. Furniture, appliances, structure, and especially your family. At Roofing Nation, they know that even the slightest roofing issue can create major, and they mean major, problems. This is true. Our condo association, GP, is going through all sorts of stuff because of roof damage. It's awful. Now the good news. Roofing Nation to the rescue. They've lowered the price on their highest quality GAF roofing systems for this one-time event. Get 36% off and 0% financing for 36 months.
Double the savings, 36% off, 0% financing, 3 full years. You're saving thousands. Not only do you save big on Superior Roofing, but you're not going to find a more reputable company than our friends at Roofing Nation. These are our pals from Window Nation. In the roofing game, you're protecting your home from mold, hidden damage, anything a broken roof could cause. It's free to find out. Plus, ask about the price protection guarantee. Call Roofing Nation today at 8334-NATION, 8334-NATION, or go to roofingnation.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Weird scene last night. Nats and the Mets. Nationals lose. We could talk about that. Not worth it right now. I want to talk about the near fireworks between the two teams. And with three games still coming up between the two, there's a chance we could see some either benches clearing or fisticuffs, yeah, or at least some drama play out with some batters getting hit by pitches. And when and if we see that, just remember we told you, it was coming. So Adam Eaton and Todd Frazier cannot stand each other. I think this goes back to when they played together with the White Sox in 2016.
It would stand to reason that that's where because they crossed paths there. It would be weird if that wasn't the genesis of this, right?
They had lockers directly next to each other. And Jamal Collier of MLB.com wrote about their relationship, or poor relationship, their lack thereof, and basically said at one point when they were on the same team, they got separated from one another in some type of situation. So you fast forward to last year, 2 years after that in 2018, and there was a day when at Citi Field with the Mets, Eaton was yelled at by a bunch of the Mets because of a hard slide, basically, at second base, and he and Todd Frazier got into it again and were shouting at each other. Last night, Frazier and Eaton came together and had to be pulled aside by teammates at the first base bag after Eaton grounded into a double play while Frazier was walking off the field. We've got a few cuts to play for you here. Now, it's very, very different how these two players went about talking about this after the game. First, you'll hear from the Mets' Todd Frazier. Frazier, who was asked about this and was willing to give absolutely nothing on what had taken place.
What happened with Eaton there?
Oh, that was nothing. Nothing at all.
What started it?
I said it was nothing. It really was nothing.
So Todd Frazier saying nothing to see here, except there's video after the end of the inning when Masson went to break. They used their cam high above the field.
Mm-hmm.
And you can literally see Eaton say something. Frazier say something back. They start yelling and pointing at each other.
If someone's holding you back, Todd, it wasn't nothing.
Hey, teammates start basically running to get in between the two of them, and they're kind of going after each other as people were holding them back. Now, Adam Eaton was much more willing to discuss this. I love Adam Eaton, by the way. I think he's an awesome dude. He's good for the clubhouse. He's had a little bit of a down season from what I wanted him to have.
He's scuffling right now, too.
Yeah, and he cannot come through with a big hit right now with runners in scoring position. But let's go through these cuts here. First, he says Frazier was childish. Let's play that. He's not a fan of Todd Frazier, who most people around baseball think is a pretty good dude.
Are you surprised that's still going on in May of 2019?
Yes. Absolutely. He's very childish. Like I said, I'm walking with my head down. The play's over with. I'm walking away. I hear him a couple of times. Like I said, I'm a 30-year-old man with two kids and got a mortgage and everything. And he wants to loud talk as he's running off the field. Like I said, at the end of the day, I got to be a man about it. And I tried to, stay patient with the childishness. And then, like I said, like I said, it is what it is. I got to stand up to it eventually.
Let's get Eaton on what Frazier's deal is. He's trying to explain, like, yeah. So what is the history here? And if you believe Adam Eaton, he does not know where this all stems from.
You asked, so, like, you didn't see anything. I don't know. Gosh, know what goes on in my mind. I don't know. He's chirping all the way across the infield. I don't know. He must really like me because he wants to get my attention. It seems like every time we come here in town, and he really cares what I think about him, I guess. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if he wants to talk to me in person or have a visit or what it is. But like I said, he's always yelling across the infield at me. He's making a habit of it.
If you believe Eaton,
yeah.
Basically throughout the night last night, Todd Frazier was talking S to him for no reason. I don't know why he would do that. I also don't know why Eaton would make that up. Here's one final cut from post-game last night. Eaton on Frazier, this was actually pretty good.
I'm not going to say the saying that I want to say, but you got to be a man at some point. So I turned around and had a few choice words with him. And then it's funny, you know, I was walking towards him, and then he didn't really want to walk towards me. But as soon as someone held him back, then he was like all of a sudden was really impatient, like trying to get towards me. So like I said, just being Todd Frazier. So, what's new?
Any reason why with this?
Just being himself. So, I think it's about as basic as I can say.
He can't stand Todd Frazier.
They don't like each other.
Just being Todd Frazier, that's so funny.
So, one of the weird things out there is Eaton's got that, like, scrappy style, right? Is a guy that's a pest to play against, who fouls off a million pitches, is the kind of dude you love having on your team because he plays hard every day. He does all the right things, says all the right things, is just the quintessential will over skill major leaguer. And he's obviously got a lot of skill. He's in the big leagues. But you know what I mean, right? 5'8", 160-pound guys usually don't make it to the show. And there he is, top of the order of a team that's got aspirations to do great things. So there are some that you hear whispers and rumblings that he's rubbed the wrong way. Because, you know,
he rubs people the wrong
way.
Yeah,
like where you've – did I say it weird? What did I say?
No, I get what you're saying. I'm just clarifying that basically not that he gets annoyed, but maybe the way he goes about his business is annoying to people around him.
So there you know, in baseball circles, you call some guys like that scrappy do. You know what I mean? Like little scrappy. Like the guy that follows the side of Scooby-Doo and is always overenthusiastic and he's the guy hustling in spring training harder than everybody else. And it's like, okay, dude, at a certain point, like, you know – go on cruise control one time. So sometimes he can rub people the wrong way. I don't buy that, by the way. I'm an Eaton fan. I love the guy. I'm just trying to paint the background here. Something about him and Todd Frazier, who also, by the way, is universally thought of pretty much as a great dude. Something about those two guys, there is a clash, and it's clear that they're not fans.
I mean, how many people listening have someone they work with that they don't get along with, that they can't stand? And it doesn't mean you're awful or they're awful. Like, it's oil and water. You just... different personalities, you don't get along. Todd Frazier, by the way, is having an awful season. Like for as poorly as Adam Eaton's played recently, Todd Frazier's got an OPS over 100 points lower. He's hitting .203. And he's got more important things to worry about probably than Adam Eaton during that game last night. But you're right, they can't stand each other. I'm guessing something happened when they were with the White Sox in 2016. And that was a weird year for that clubhouse. That was the year where Adam LaRoche wasn't allowed to have his kid, remember?
He just quit.
Drake LaRoche around, so he just walked out and said, I'm done. And then a bunch of the players on the team became somewhat divisive, kind of stood up for Adam LaRoche. Adam Eaton was one of them. I have no idea whether Todd Frazier was Team LaRoche or not there or how it worked, but Chris Sale ended up, like, cutting his jersey.
Is it, like,
half.
The weird wool throwback or something that, like, the George Costanza executive made him wear?
It was a rotten culture, and there were knocks on some of those guys in terms of being, quote-unquote, bad clubhouse players coming out of that. So maybe they didn't like each other. But you don't see that very often, where there's two pros in the fraternity who have been at this for years. I mean, Eaton is 30 years old. So it's not like this is some... You talk about, like, rubbing someone the wrong way or maybe... getting under the skin because I hate how this guy goes about his business. They're 33 and 30, these two dudes.
Yeah.
It's not like that one's young and one's old. They're basically the same age, same part of their lives. I love the quote from Eaton, though, where he says, he's just being Todd Frazier. And then he says, I'm an adult. I got two kids. I even pay a mortgage.
Yeah, that was my favorite. It's like, I'm a grown up. I don't have time for this crap. That's my general attitude towards a lot of stuff, by the way.
Do you think this is the end of the road? Because Frazier hears all this crap tonight, or I guess last night, all day today. Do you just go out there and act like nothing happened? I mean, you kind of got punked, right?
Well, these are two teams with a lot of bad happening, right? The winds of chaos, the tornadoes around the Mets.
Who gets fired first, Mickey Callaway or Davey Martinez?
I mean, that's the everything stinks. So this is something you could focus on. You know, you can't win the World Series today. You can't get 10 games over 500 today. You can't make up nine games of ground on the Phillies today. So maybe this is what happens. Maybe you let out some of the frustration by throwing it at Adam Eaton's hip, and then we have a benches clearing, whatnot. I can absolutely see it, by the way. I absolutely could see them escalating this thing because both these teams, 25 guys per roster, there are 50 frustrated MFers right now. People are mad.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. If you've got a thought on Eaton versus Frazier, we'd love to hear from you. 800-636-1067. Real quick, I want to tell you this. Apparently, Ted Leonsis is speaking on a panel. There's like a Wall Street Journal future endeavor thing that's going on. And a guy who's live tweeting this, Bob Williams, who works for Sports Business, just said, Leonsis says he believes that within 5 years, Team Liquid, isn't that the video game team?
The esports team.
Will become worth more than he paid for the Capitals. Do you think that's a thing?
Yeah.
Dude, the industry for esports is unbelievable.
Yep. It's absolutely unbelievable.
He says he believes that in 10 years, NBA 2K League players will become better known and better paid than LeBron James is today.
That I don't buy.
I'm going to say no to that one.
I don't buy that part, but they
that
will
means
be-
Vic Ferreira playing hockey will be more important than Alex Ovechkin.
Yeah.
Probably not.
I understand the sentiment that they're growing in popularity, and it's a big deal, but it's not quite that level. But, yeah, that's worth a lot.
Grant and Danny with you on The Fan. Magic Johnson went on TV to air out some dirty laundry. Why, Magic? As we continue on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan. The Patriots have signed star receiver Julian Edelman to a 2-year extension, $8 million in the upcoming couple of years in signing bonus, $12 million in guaranteed money, according to ESPN.com. You realize Edelman's 32 years old now?
I would have said 30 on the dot.
Yep.
32. How long has he been with the Patriots?
I'm going to guess
7 years,
9
years?
Seasons. Yeah. I'll have to look that up. Last year, he caught 10 balls in the Super Bowl, caught a total of 26 passes in 3 playoff games. Edelman has become one of the better slot receivers in all the NFL. He's staying put. I think eventually Tom Brady's going to just run into a wall, right?
It's got to happen, doesn't it?
It's not going to be long. He's going to hit a wall, and it's going to be over. It's not this season, though. And Tom Brady's got at least one more strong season in him. And they're trying to ensure that. I know that he's not going to have Rob Gronkowski to throw to, but by supplanting, you know, any questions they had about the next couple of years on the inside between the hash marks by re-signing Julian Edelman, this is a big step forward for them. Don't forget they also drafted N'Keal Harry.
That's right.
I mean, who was maybe the best wide receiver in the draft class. They got him with the last pick deep in the first round. So you've got Harry, Philip Dorsett, Julian Edelman, Dontrell Inman, Demaryius Thomas. I don't know how much he's going to help them.
Well, but they realize like they're going to have a vacuum here, right, in terms of receiving talent, especially without Gronkowski. So they're just going to throw a bunch of things at the wall, and they'll do what they always do. There'll be a week where one of those guys that you just mentioned has a 170-yard game, and then everyone picks him up in fantasy, and then they're never heard from again. They'll keep trotting guys out there. They you know, Philip Dorsett has had better opportunities a number of times, and yet he keeps – being their sixth or seventh option, steps in for a week, catches a huge touchdown that isn't heard from for a while. They keep churning it out up there. It's that the buy-in to the culture is unbelievable. But again, the most important thing that they do, they're playing chess in terms of draft capital. They're always ahead of the game right there, whereas other teams just sort of think immediately. They're always thinking 2, 3, 4 years ahead. It's easy to do when you've got Belichick and Brady. When they don't, I wonder if they'll be doing the same things.
We had our own local brouhaha here when Dwayne Haskins decided he was going to take Joe Theismann's number 7, and the number wasn't retired. Well, the Bills have issued the number 32, O.J. Simpson's number.
It's not exactly the...
For the first time since 1977. Now, O.J. Simpson, for obvious reasons, as Mike Shanahan used to say, probably not a number you want to honor anymore at this point of his life.
No.
But 10,000 rushing yards, 57 touchdowns, Hall of Famer who led the league in rushing 4 times in 9 seasons for the Bills before those post-career troubles. But think about that. They have not had that number in circulation since 1977. They just randomly gave it out to an undrafted free agent to start wearing now.
Somebody's got to be the first one, right? Someone's got to be the first one. It may as well just be an anonymous guy.
Would you have said no?
If I'm the kid?
I would have been like, yeah, I'm good on that. I'll take any other number. Thank you.
I would have said, hey, I don't have much standing here. I'm lucky to be here. Is there any other number? 33. 31.
He was asked about it, and he's like, I thought the number was retired. It's cool to me to wear someone that was great's number.
Because, listen, he was great at football. He was really, really good.
There was a time.
At football.
If you stop the sentence there, it's just, it's fine. It's
just a sentence. Yeah. That's all.
He was a good football player. 8:30 tip-off tonight, the Milwaukee Bucks, the Toronto Raptors Eastern Conference Final, Game 4. Toronto got Game 3. It took 2 overtimes and an ejection on fouls for Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek freak trying to lead his team to a 3-1 series lead now. I think Milwaukee wins. They may need 6 games ultimately. I'm going to say 5, but the amount of things that had to go right for the Raptors to beat the Bucks,
I think that's the key
in Game
there, yeah.
3. You look back, it was one of the best playoff performances of Kawhi Leonard's career, plus the best player for Milwaukee fouled out, plus he had the worst game maybe of his season. I know he had 20-plus rebounds and did some okay things when he wasn't shooting. But he was like 2 of 8 from the free throw line.
He had 8 turnovers. It was sloppy. You know, you had every possible thing. I mean, go back to Game 1 where Lowry had 30 points on the road. He was outstanding. Everything went right for Toronto, and they still lost because Brooke Lopez went nuts. Toronto had that here in Game 3. I mean, again, you look at Milwaukee's shooting totals. Mirotić 3 for 11, Antetokounmpo 5 for 16, Middleton 3 for 16, Bledsoe 3 for 16. I mean, that's disastrous, and it still took 2 overtimes. If one of those guys does anything reasonable, if Antetokounmpo is 50% from the foul line, they win the game. I mean, it took everything and then some for Toronto to be able to pull this one out. Milwaukee's the better team, and you know, maybe they have another down performance. Maybe you give Toronto some credit for disrupting shooters. I mean, it's not like they're slacks. I mean, Siakam is a menace running around blocking shots and getting his arms in people's faces. And Gasol's an underrated defender. But I just can't buy that Toronto's going to win this series. It just doesn't feel like it to me.
No.
Maybe they get it tonight. It becomes way more interesting. But this feels like Milwaukee.
The only way they win this series is if somehow Giannis just goes into a rut and what you saw in Game 3 happens 2 more times.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only way, and I don't think that that's a possibility. The last big story nationally in sports today, Carson Wentz and the Eagles commenting on his OTA availability. Wentz has been cleared to fully participate in all team activities, according to Doug Peterson today. He has no limitations, and he's not going to be held back at all. So he will be on the field after that back injury. Remember, he had the MVP season going in 2017 when he completed 70% of his throws for 29 touchdowns and 7 picks. All of a sudden, there is some pressure on Carson Wentz. Eagles fans were a little bit divided when they decided to let Nick Foles leave for Jacksonville. Now, I think that's preposterous because you got Wentz on a rookie contract, Foles who needed to be paid, Wentz who's a lot higher upside, better arm, almost better across the board. But Foles had won a Super Bowl and had additional playoff success last season. Wentz was coming off of, again, a really strong 11 games. 21 touchdowns, 7 picks, a 102 rating. His career rating is well over 90 at this point. So he's been really good. But because you're replacing a guy who always took over for you and had playoff success,
yeah,
heavy lies the crown. He needs to lead them deep into the playoffs either this year or next year, or else there's going to be major rumblings about him.
So it starts to get further and further into the rearview mirror, right? That MVP first half, or whatever you want to call it, MVP 9 or 10 games that he was having a couple seasons ago. This is a short memory league, man. And you go from all the promise and hope and whatever. Next thing you know, they're going, okay, well, where's the production? Because you start to rapidly approach that fifth-year option, the quarterback no longer being cheap. It turns into a huge part of your salary cap. And the advantage you've got over everybody else, you've got a shot clock running out on that time, right? There's a limited window. It's a buy-now type window for this team to be able to keep adding defensive linemen the way that they have, to keep going out in the free agent market and getting wide receivers, the Alshon Jeffries and running backs like Jordan Howard and whatever else they keep doing. You get $25-30 million for your quarterback. You can't do that stuff anymore. You've got to find a different way. So, yeah, the pressure's mounting. It's an astute point.
The Wizards made a GM offer to Tim Connelly. He turned them down. He has spoken for the first time about his decision to do so. We'll tell you what he said next on Grant and Danny.
It is Grant and Danny. We are Window Nation fans. It's time to fire up that grill. Spring has sprung. It's beautiful. Summer is right around the corner. Window Nation is ready to kick off summer with sizzling savings. You buy one, you get one free. That's right. You buy one, you get one free. Window Nation's best offer, it is back, but only until May 31st. You buy one window, you get the second one for free. You buy two, you get two free. You buy four, you get four free. You get how it works. There is no limit. Plus, you'll get 0% interest for 5 years.
Not too bad, Grillmeister. There's even more to this smoking hot deal. Call today, get that free in-home quote, and you'll get a pair of tickets to Hershey Park while supplies last. Window Nation will come out to your home within 24 hours, 7 days a week, and provide you with an exact price, not just an estimate. Backed by Window Nation's A+ Better Business Bureau rating. I use Window Nation. Danny did as well. We're better off for it.
866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. You got to tell them Grant and Danny sent you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. The Nats will try again tonight. You got to beat the Mets. You can't lose a series. Four-game set in Citi Field to a team that came into this series having not scored a run in two games, and worse than that, had three hits in two games against the Marlins as they'd been swept in a three-game series. Please win the baseball game. I know that you've got the back of your rotation going, and it's Eric Fetty's first start of the year. I just don't care that much. I need you to win the baseball game.
Let's not complicate things. Winning games is important. Winning games against teams that are in absolute despair, chaos, downward death spiral, at the bottom of the toilet, you need to beat them. This is the time to play the Mets. A month ago, it wasn't. A month ago, the Mets were okay. They are in a swoon. Please take advantage. Or we have to have lots of different conversations.
They have had great success in their lineup against Zach Wheeler, who pitches tonight, faces the Nats for the second straight start, fourth time already this year. The Nats jumped all over him for four runs in the first inning before he did get through six innings, but he got knocked around throughout the process. He's got an ERA of almost five on the year. So you hope that they can hit him hard tonight. Let's talk a little NBA front office for just a second on the Wizards front. The first comments that have come out publicly now from Tim Connelly, who decided not to leave Denver for the Wizards job. A lot of people are going to tell you that this is embarrassing and terrible for the Wizards. I think he should have stayed with Denver. They're on the upswing. That's a really good organization. It's a good situation for him. The Wizards, that's a lengthy rebuild that's going to take a lot of time. So I don't view this as some slap in the face to Washington or Wizards fans. But listen to this quote on the Wizards pursuit of Connelly. This is from Mike Singer, who's the Nuggets beat writer who tracked him down for the Denver Post. He said, "We just had a conversation. It was not much more than that. Loyalty and continuity are so rare in sports, and those things matter to me." Now, I don't know if he's saying that because he wants to stay with the Nuggets and be loyal to them, or because he left the Wizards at one point in time and he felt like he deserved an opportunity he didn't get. I don't know.
I don't either.
But he has decided he's not coming to Washington. That's his first comment. He said it was a conversation, wasn't much more than that. Reports are that Ted Leonsis made an offer over the weekend that he turned down.
So there are varying reports on this. One report was that they offered 4 years, but he wanted five, but it was in the neighborhood of the money he was looking for, and then ultimately decided to stay because he was pitched by his current boss, the younger Kroenke. Other reports say the Wizards never really offered anything. It's varying. Everyone's trying to save face now, I would say. The thing I tend to believe is that the Wizards wouldn't go to a certain point in negotiation. If you want this guy, if you're desperate, you must win a bidding war. That's what happens when you have an executive that's well thought of in this league. A guy that took Denver from a laughingstock to a team that was knocking on the door of a conference final in a conference that's infinitely better than the one you currently occupy. If the problem was the amount of money or an extra year thrown on top and they wouldn't go beyond that, that is an issue. If it was simply this guy saying, I'm not really keen to leave Denver, but thanks for having me in your office and let's go grab a steak, that's a different story. I can't believe that's all that happened. I can't believe that he was here meeting with folks and they haven't hired anybody else yet. They've met with Troy Reaver twice. They've interviewed Danny Ferry twice. They've interviewed their own guy a million times and Tommy Shepard. They were holding out for Tim Connelly, by all accounts, by just the way this whole thing looks. If you weren't willing to outbid somebody for his services to fix the hot mess that is your franchise, and then the next day you're bragging about how much money your E-League team is worth, I'm just saying, it doesn't look that awesome.
My prediction now is that Thunder Vice President Troy Weaver becomes the GM of the Wizards. I think most people are assuming that they're just going to promote Tommy Shepard. I actually think they're going to go with Weaver from outside the organization. The other of the finalists at this point sounds like it's Danny Ferry, who's the only of this triumvirate who's actually run an NBA team at the highest level in the role he'd be taking over for the Wizards. I'm saying Weaver. What say you?
I think it's Shepard. And the, you know, the desperation or the ability, or the thing they'll try to sell is he's different than his old boss, you know, in a million ways, very well thought of around the league, et cetera, et cetera. But to me, if you were going to go with one of those other guys, I think you would have gone with him. I think you would have done this. You know, I think it'd be locked up here, ASAP. As soon as it wasn't going to happen with Connelly, you would have known that potentially during that conversation or shortly thereafter, they would have moved and swept up one of these guys. Now that there's kind of a calming, I think it's ended up just being Shepard.
Speaking of basketball executives, did you see any of the video that came out of Magic Johnson on First Take? So here's what you need to know if you missed it, essentially. Magic Johnson decided to do an interview with Stephen A. Smith.
Huh.
And I don't know why, and I don't know who's advising him or if anybody is. But he already looked really bad, in my opinion, when he just up and left the Lakers without telling anyone. He didn't tell Jeannie Buss what he was doing. He didn't tell LeBron James what he was doing. In fact, he never really actually resigned from his post. We had a guy one time that worked here that we just found out randomly, just decided. He, like, walked in and told our boss, like, yeah, I'm not working here anymore. And he's like, really? He's like, yeah, I'm just out. See you later. I'm like, okay, you're a low-level dude in a job that, like, we can figure this out. But Magic Johnson basically did the same thing. The only thing worse than how he acted, which was unprofessional and like a 10-year-old who's never had a job would, he then went on TV and on live television, threw a bunch of Lakers executives under the bus and just made the whole situation, I think, even worse. Here is a snippet, as Fred Smoot would say.
The straw that broke the camel's back was I wanted to fire Luke Walton. And we had max three meetings. I showed her the things he did well and the things he didn't do well. And I said, listen, we got to get a better coach. I like him. He's great. Former Laker, the whole thing. So the first day, well, let's think about it. Second day, okay, you can fire him. Then the next day, no, we should try to work it out. So when we went back and forth like that, and then she brought Tim Harrison to the meeting, you know, some of the guys. And Tim, you know, wanted me, he wanted to keep him because he was friends with Luke. And Luke's a great guy, great guy.
He is.
And so
yes.
When I looked up and said, wait a minute, I only really answer to Jeannie Buss. Now I got Tim involved. And I said, it's time for me to go. I got things happening that was being said behind my back. I don't have the power that I thought I had to make the decisions.
In this interview, the cliff notes are he basically said, yeah, when I got hired, I told Jeannie Buss, I got a lot of other ventures and I make a lot of other money. I can't work that hard. I'm not going to be in the office that much. I'm going to be in and out as I want to be in and out. And then, shocker, Rob Pelinka, who I guess is their GM, had a problem with that because this guy doesn't work that hard. He's here when he wants to be. He just kind of floats in and out and makes decisions because he's Magic Johnson. weird that I wouldn't want that, and it's not going to be helpful to my basketball outfit. But he basically said Pelinka stabbed him in the back, wanted his job. I mean, he went scorched earth on him. I don't even know who the name he was just talking about was. Tim somebody?
Tim Harris. I'm not even sure who that is.
He went scorched earth on him. He was just throwing people under the bus left and right. I thought it was completely embarrassing that he did this.
I don't know what the point is. If you don't want to work in basketball anymore, I guess go ahead and do that and write your tell-all book. Magic Johnson is one of my favorite players ever. Magic Johnson's one of the great players I've ever seen. Probably the third or fourth best player I've seen in my life. He was amazing. Was a great, great player. Could not be worse when you start checking the box for an executive. Just the wants everyone to like him, super popular, kind, funny, smart kind of guy, very personable. Sometimes you got to be awful as an exec. You've got to do things that you're not really are part of your DNA. Michael Jordan couldn't do it. He was managing for Chicago on the golf course. Magic was the same way.
Here's Rob Pelinka's reaction to Magic last night.
I have talked to him several times since he decided to step away. We've had many joy-filled conversations. In fact, 2 days ago, we were reliving the combine and the fourth pick and talking about the great future that this franchise has. So these things are surprising to hear and disheartening. But I look forward to the opportunity to talk with him and sit down with him and work through them, just like in any relationship, because they're just simply not true. I stand beside him. I stand with him as a colleague, as a partner. I've always supported everything he's done and will continue to. And, you know, I think that's the best way to address that.
It's a good thing he's Magic Johnson. Mm-hmm. I mean, he would never have a job again, and his name would be
Mud
all over basketball if he was just some random guy acting like he's acted over the last couple of months. If you missed any part of today's show, go to thefandc.com, grantanddanny.com/audio to listen to our podcast.
CDVTW is up next, a very special deep dive into Marcus Stroman's 1-6 despite a sub-3 ERA season. How is it happening? What do the analytics tell us? Chad Dukes has a whole special on his picks mix. A pitch mix, rather. I can't even get it out. Chad's been here for 4.5 hours. Now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.